You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 21.
Hello everyone and welcome back to The Dark Paranormal, Season 21, Episode 3. Now firstly, a huge thank you as ever for all of your feedback following last week's episode, Katie's Room. We've received so many emails about that episode, I think it's a record. And many of those emails are either positing the same question that we asked at the end of the episode, or putting theories across to that question of exactly what Katie was up to, what was her role in this whole haunting. Because, as I said on the episode, that's the massive missing jigsaw piece of that entire experience. But thank you all for your continued interaction with the show. Remember, as I always say, this is your show. I'm merely the conduit between the listeners' experiences and you, the audience. Now, a very important note I need to make. I made it on the minisode. It's so important, I need to make it again. It was brought to my attention by one of our listeners, Sophia. Thank you, Sophia. That in the US, some of the dynamic ads that were placed into our show were anti-immigration ads, absolute abhorrence, which I do not condone, and I want to make that clear. I've raised it with the podcast hosting provider, and in fairness to them, they were on it immediately. They've managed to find the advert and remove it from the play roll. Now, obviously, advert revenue is one of the things or streams of revenue which allows this show to go out for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. So revenue was generated by that advert. I do not want to touch that revenue, so I've asked the provider to let me know just how much revenue was raised from that advert, because I'm going to donate that exact amount to Races, which is a charity in the US who give out legal and social support to people who are facing troubles from the new policies that have been put in place. And from their website, they state they want a country where everyone has the opportunity to achieve the American dream with dignity and respect, no matter where you were born. And that is something that this show does stand behind. So, this is no virtue signalling, because that money was never mine. I just want those people who've paid for this advertisement to know, well done, you've just supported a charity that is entirely against the things you stand for. And that will be the case for any further adverts along these lines. Any sort of money that's raised from those adverts will go direct to a charity to oppose them. So when I found out what that figure is, I'm not going to announce it on here, I'm just letting you know now what is going to take place. And if anyone who is part of that pack or whatever, who paid for that advert, Races, thanks you for your donation. Now, let's move on to more brighter things, and by brighter I mean darker of course, today's episode. Before we do, A quick shout out, because I know I've took up quite a bit of the start with that message, so I need to crack on now. So a big thank you to our newest Patreons. Don't forget, we're keeping the free tier going. It's a week-long free tier at our highest level that you can trial. And just head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. You'll receive early access to all of these episodes, both ad-free, before anyone else. And of course, you will gain access to Dark Bites, because you will be getting that trial at the highest tier. And as I always say, the best thing about our Patreon is the fact that it is some weird, amazing, beautiful, self-evolved creation in terms of the community. I genuinely can't talk highly enough about it. I already have, you've heard me say it, but genuinely it's one of the things that really amazes me. It's beautiful. So, either head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal or click the link in the show notes. And today, our latest team members to our community are Emily Laird, Carrie, Teddy, Jamie Smith, Jill White, Kyle S., Jay Ungian, Doc Blue, Ellie Davis, Brian, Andre Petrillo, Karen Brett, Joanne Small, Brittany Halborg, Caitlin Seabell, Kylie Seacombe, Tracy, New Me, Catherine Goff, Ian Will, Joan, and Peace of Mind. Thank you so, so much, guys, for supporting this independent podcast. Currently in the UK, actually, it's the British Podcast Awards. I was a judge for that. I know some of you did vote for me. Sadly, I wouldn't be able to receive it because I was a judge. I pulled myself out of the running as a judge simply because a lot of factors changed this year around. Last year, the newcomer category was newcomers. This year, the newcomer category I was asked to judge, well, they were filled with people who work for the BBC and celebrities. And that's not a newcomer. So therefore, the fact that you guys are supporting an independent creator is really heartwarming to me. I'm very humbled by it, and I have nothing but the utmost love for all of you. So sincerely, thank you to all of you. And again, if you wish to become a Patreon, you can receive all of these episodes ad-free and before everyone else. And you also have the chance to listen to our entire back catalogue of Dark Bites, which is currently coming in at something like 140 hours of Patreon-only content. So if you do sign up, I hope you really enjoy it, even if you just try the free trial for a week. And if it's not for you, no harm, no foul, as they say over there across the pond. But right now, lower the lights, make yourself comfortable, and of course, leave your disbelief at the door as we hear what happens when angels turn their back. Dear Mr. Eustace, my name is Anastasia. I was born and raised in rural Oregon, USA, and currently live in my hometown of Boring. I've recently found your podcast on Spotify, and I've been binge listening for days now. I've caught up on everyone's experiences and the sad tales of spirits that still inhabit certain places. I now feel encouraged, even pulled, to share with you and your listeners some of my personal experiences. Whether this is worthy of appearing on your show, for you to share privately with others who are asking for help or proof of similar experiences, or just for you to have as another experience to add to the many others, that is for you to decide. I will try to stay as brief as I can, as I'm known as somewhat of a talker. I'll also try to only include pertinent information as it relates to the situation. Okay? Here I go. My family is Russian, and I was raised Russian Orthodox Christian from birth. The women in my family have always been sensitive to the other side, mostly through dreams, intuition, and sensing the feelings of an area. I'm the first one, as far as I know, that can see aspects of the other side. My patron saint slash namesake, a saint or martyr an Orthodox Christian is named after, is Great Martyr Anastasia of Rome. During her life, she was known to visit prisoners and heal their wounds. She saved those suffering from the effects of potions, poisons, spells, and other harmful substances. She was also a prominent exorcist of demons. I believe this could be a factor into why I see them, when my other family members don't. I, too, have always had very vivid dreams, and I can almost always recall them to excruciating detail. In my dreams, I've discovered a family member was dying. I've spoken to my husband's dead father, who I never met. I've been comforted by my own father after his death. These have been confirmed by an immediate phone call to my great aunt, proven by my father-in-law using a nickname for my husband that I'd never heard, and the overwhelming feeling of my father's comforting presence. I'm also very intuitive about people's personalities. I can feel the overall ambiance of any area and can see both spirits and demons. It wasn't until around my mid-20s that I realized the things I saw routinely was not something usual to others. I see them everywhere, down the street, in every home except one that I've lived in cemeteries, and hospitals are flooded with them. Spirits act strangely. They stand in a wooden way. They don't have normal body language, for want of a better word. They will make eye contact, but will not acknowledge the connection past that. They're stuck or frozen, and I'm always filled with a feeling of both confusion, sadness, and also uncertainty when I encounter them. Demons, or evil/malevolent spirits, are very different. Their goal is fear. Specifically, my fear. I've had a few very intense interactions with demons and some very scary experiences with both angry and lost spirits. And I want to share some of those experiences, the more severe experiences, with you and your listeners. My first experience with demons was with my ex-husband. When I met him, he was a self-proclaimed Satanist. But when he explained what he believed, it was more along the lines of, I am my own God, I worship myself, versus I worship Satan. He was also an alcoholic and secret meth user. But I was foolish. I thought I gave him something to live for, that he would change and step up to the challenge. But I now know much better. His son from his previous marriage came to live with us when he was just 10 years old. His mother was living at the time in a halfway house, being recently released from prison for many crimes. My stepson chose to live with us rather than live with her and her boyfriend at the halfway house. In the time my stepson lived with us, he expressed an interest in the Orthodox Church and requested to be baptized. But he wouldn't do it without his father being baptized with him. So, my ex-husband agreed to be baptized along with his son. Exactly 1 week before they were both due to be baptized, I battled demons for the very first time. Something woke me in the middle of the night. It was the sound of something being dragged down our house's hallway. My parents were staying with us. My husband was sleeping next to me. My stepson was in his room sleeping. No one else heard it. But I got up and followed that sound to our living room. The entire house was freezing, and this was the middle of summer. A hot night. I could not see my breath, but I did have goosebumps that riddled my entire body. The dragging sound stopped as I entered the room, so I waited. I waited to see what would happen next. A major thing I noticed immediately was that my cat had followed me into the room and began hissing, swatting her claws at nothing. And she doubled in size due to her fear. Her gaze was darting all over the room, like she was seeing multiple threats at once, and she didn't know where to focus her attention first. The next thing I know, there's a loud growling in the room, loud enough to make me cover my own ears and wait for the rest of the family to come running in. But they never did. I immediately went to our prayer corner. I lit a candle and I opened the prayer book. I grabbed at the hard front and back cover of the book and it fell open to the prayer to Archangel Michael for protection. My cat had followed me and positioned herself at my feet, facing the open room behind me, hissing and swatting at something. As I began to pray, I heard such a commotion behind me. Air moved behind me, the growling continued. Movement of our furniture across the room, loud groans, the opening and closing of our sliding glass door. I was too terrified to turn around to see what was happening. I began to say prayers to Archangel Michael and the noise subsided. I stopped praying and slowly began to turn my head to look behind me. And my cat began to screech again and the noise got really loud again. So I turned back to the icons in our prayer corner and kept praying. I recited the same prayer over and over again till dawn. As the sun came up and the room began to light up, I dared again to stop praying. Nothing. No noise. Calm cat. So I dared to close the book and turn around. My living room was in shambles. The sliding glass door wide open. The couch upended. Books from the bookcase were strewn over the floor. Dining room chairs were tipped over. I began crying and I ran to get my mum. She'd heard nothing, as was the case with all the other family. I woke her up and she spent the next hour calming me down, hearing me, telling me I'd battled demons for my husband and my stepson's souls. The devil wasn't happy about losing one of his own to Christianity, and I was battling for their souls. Upon sharing with our priest what happened, he agreed. He said I'd led an exorcism-type battle for my husband's soul. He also informed me later that the demon of addiction, my ex-husband was addicted to alcohol and, unbeknownst to me, meth, would keep trying to tempt him, to try and take him, and it would do anything to keep him weak and addicted. Unfortunately, my ex-husband was not able to break the bonds of addiction, and his erratic and violent behavior led to the ultimate death of our marriage 4 years later. He is a good man, and I pray he's well now. But I could not allow him at that mental state to inhabit my life. His son had already chosen to return to his mother at the halfway house rather than be a victim of his father's addiction. I pray they are both happier now. The second time I battled evil was due to a house, not a person.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good.
Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
By this time, I'd remarried my current husband, and I have a wonderful son. When my son was around 5 months old, we moved into a house on Rhododendron, Mount Hood. And it was a beautiful home, situated just above a stream, and we could hear it babble year-round from our wraparound wooden porch in the Mount Hood National Forest. Beautiful giant fir trees would touch our porch railing, and we had black bears scratching their backs and sharpening their claws on trees just 20 feet from our door. Mountain lions would frequent the area, with their young in spring and summer. Flying squirrels would sneak snacks from our feeders at dusk. Deer would traipse through our yard, eating berries and plants as they meandered. It was my favourite place, except for the house. The house was troubled. Kevin, I've provided links to pictures of the house as it's now for sale, but it did not look like that when we lived there. It was an unusual house. A tiny kitchen, a huge living room, a 12-foot vaulted ceiling. The ceiling was made of knotty pine, a beautiful and unique wood with tons of character. No slat was the same, each lending a bit of character to the home. Other than that, it was a dark, dank nightmare, covered in wooden panels. My son's room ate light. No matter how many floor lamps, desk lamps, night lights we would put in there, the room was near to pitch dark all the time. The minute you'd walk in, the hair on your neck and your arms would stand up. Something was in there all the time. My mother hated that room. She'd refused to go in. Anytime my son was in that room, I tried to be in there with him. I just felt I couldn't leave him alone in there. That was the only other room, besides the master bedroom where me and my husband were. In the end, my son slept with us on most nights. The master bathroom was another ominous room. I took one shower there. But feeling immediately that someone was watching me, I never showered in that room again. One day I was feeding my son in his high chair while he faced the hallway to the bedrooms and bathrooms. Suddenly, he moved his head a few inches to the side and focused on something behind me and said, "Hello," using his chubby baby fingers to wave at something. I thought he was just being funny, so I moved my head back into his vision, and he directly moved to the opposite side to once more see around me and said again, "Hello," as he waved again at something behind me. I went cold. My son wasn't old enough to interact more than that, but when I looked, there was nothing down the hallway. When I asked who he saw, he just kept waving at someone. Someone I couldn't see. About 3 months after we moved in, my husband, who's a retired military policeman, came running out of our bedroom at midnight. I was watching TV low as to not wake my son, who was sleeping on the couch. And my husband came panicked out of our room at the end of the hall. "Did you hear that? What the hell was that?" he yelled. I said, "What are you talking about? I didn't hear anything." He says, "I was sleeping and suddenly there are three bangs on the wall, huge bangs on the wall above my head. Bang, bang, bang." I told him the truth. I hadn't heard anything, but I knew the significance of threes in the demon world. It's a mockery of the Trinity, i.e. three bangs, three scratch lines, etc. I was immediately suspicious. We went outside and found that there were three huge scratches on the exterior wall exactly opposite our headboard. After that, We all had different experiences that suggested different types of hauntings. In the middle of the day, I heard two different men arguing in loud voices, followed by a gunshot. My son told me later that an old woman would appear in his room, laughing at him, sit on his bed, and poked him whilst he tried to sleep. At one point, my son was trapped in his room when his door slammed shut and refused to open, even as his father and I tried to break it down from the outside. Thankfully, my husband managed to get through that door and rescue our inconsolable son. Our son has never recovered from that experience. He still cannot sleep alone, nor can be in a dark area without me or his father there. My only sleep paralysis experience also happened in that house. I woke one night to the feeling of being pressed, weighted into my mattress. I looked up, and at the side of my bed was a woman wearing a large pleated skirt, long-sleeved high-neck blouse, and a hat with feathers. She was staring directly into me, but saying nothing. I could not move. I could breathe fine, but the fear was making it difficult to catch a breath. As I watched her, she walked slowly around the foot of my bed to the main space of the bedroom. My eyes followed her. Suddenly, I saw she was joined by many other people, gathering in the room. Men and women congregating together, talking in hushed tones. She kept my gaze the entire time she moved around the room. As she approached the group of other people, she said to them in a hushed voice, "She can see us." Then they all turned and looked directly at me. I was terrified. In front of my eyes, they all disappeared, and I could move again. As I began to sit up, my husband was there, fear in his eyes. He said, "You were panting in your sleep, like you were having a panic attack. Your eyes were huge. Are you okay?" I told him what I'd saw, and he said, "Tomorrow we'll call Father. We are getting this house blessed immediately." Our family priest came and blessed the house, no questions asked. He's been my priest since I was 5, so he knows our family history of sensitivity. My husband overheard our priest saying, "When those women ask you to bless something, you bless it. They fight battles we do not see." The activity instantly died down, for a while. I decided I wanted to know what was happening in my house. I knew there was a demonic presence there, but I also knew there were things that were not demonic. Being a newer house, I was pretty sure it wasn't the structure. So I began to suspect maybe the land itself was a part of it. I researched extensively at the libraries, the historical society, the museum, and in contacting community members whose family had settled here from the founding of the town. As it would turn out, the road our house was on was the original Oregon Trail that had been paved as a road through the woods. It was considered the most dangerous stretch of the Oregon Trail. Brigands, robbers, treacherous trails, and cliffs were the least of the travelers' worries on this part of the trail. There was a sudden drop nearby, and a makeshift elevator was built. A simple wood platform that was lowered by 4 men over a sheer drop. 70% of those that chose to use the elevator were left with dead horses, broken wagons, and no supplies. A nearby town, Zigzag, was created because some of the pioneers decided they were not going to travel any further along this dangerous path. So, they decided to build homes and a store right where they were. This explains my hearing of the men arguing and the gunshot. A link to one of the many stories of murder, mayhem, and intrigue that happened on the Oregon Trail can be found by searching Murder on Mount Hood, the story of Perry Vickers, Mount Hood history. As far as the demonic presence that plagued our home, well, I don't know anything more than it was malevolent and wanted to harm all of us, especially my son. We had that house blessed every 3 months, because around that time, the activity would increase in severity. Once the house was blessed, we would have a week of nothing, and then gradually it would increase until we had to have the house blessed again. Doors would open and close by themselves, there'd be bangs, shouts, darkness would appear that could not be illuminated, there were rotten smells, the feeling of being watched all the time, a heaviness, a sadness, a fear, and a constant onslaught against my son, especially in his room. The worst week of my life was the last week in that house. It had been 1 month since we'd had Father bless the house, but we were packing and moving the next week. I thought, why have him come out to bless the house the same week we move? We're gone in just a few days. This will be fine. It was not fine. Whatever was being kept at bay with the blessings was suddenly full strength and out to play. Voices, screaming, children crying, arguments, lights turning on and off, icy cold spots. We even had to close off my son's bedroom because the room was so cold, it was ice cold. Toys would run until batteries died, even when switched off. Shouts could be heard from my son's empty room, followed by his door slamming. I have never experienced anything that intense for that long in my life. It was awful. At that point, we moved into our current house, the rectory on our church property. For the first time in my life, I'm living in a house that is not haunted by something. We all, my husband, now a deacon, my son and myself, have had experiences with angels in our home, but nothing evil or malevolent. We feel protected and safe, able to relax. But my son still cannot sleep alone, nor be in a dark area by himself. But to be fair, I'm 43, and I'm afraid of the dark as well. I'm sorry that this has turned out to be such a long experience. If you've read this far, thank you. I must thank you for the amazing work you do. Being someone who can participate in the spirit realm is very isolating. And you are bringing us together, us who can commiserate and share amongst each other. And that can be life-changing for those who do not have a support system. You can see in the house pics I've sent you, Kevin, that it clearly has been drastically renovated since we moved from there. The pictures look great now, but my husband and I can still see what we lived through when we look at them. Thank you and God bless. Anastasia. Well, Anastasia, thank you for giving us episode 3 of season 21. And it's intriguing that you do say, I'm sorry if this has gone on too long. Because for me, there is so much to unpack within that experience that I think this was kind of the condensed version. It would definitely sound that way. Obviously, on a personal level, I know nothing other than what you've stated in your experience about your personal life, but from a paranormal perspective, you have lived one hell of a life, quite literally. And it's an interesting thought, given you were brought up in a family who believed in the paranormal, a family who believed in each other's abilities to sense the paranormal. And I do wonder, both the positive and negatives of being brought up in that sort of environment, as well as the positives and negatives of being brought up in a non-believing house when you experience something. We obviously hear the latter much more frequently, somebody experienced something in a house of non-believers and not having that support system that you had. So from that perspective, it's great. Well, I say it's great. It's obviously horrific, but it's a good thing to have that support network when you experience the darkness of the other side. But part of me wonders if sometimes that rational approach is needed from the people who have experiences and are in a family of non-believers. Because sometimes when you're on edge, as we all know, the shadow you see in the corner is a shadow. But not when you're on edge. So it's an interesting little thing to think about. There's no right or wrong. But I know I'd sooner, personally, be in a family of believers than non-believers. But either way, Anastasia, thank you so much for your tale of absolute terror. Now, don't forget, guys, this is your show. We are in the midst of season 21, but as you know, it's a very fluid show. So, if you're sat listening right now and you have your own personal paranormal experience that you want to share, either click the link in the show notes or go to thedarkparanormal.com and click Submit My Experience. But until next time, take care, stay safe, and also, once more, a big thank you to that political party in America for their donation to help people seeking legal and social support whilst they fight to simply live. It's very, very noble of you. Anyway, take care, guys. I can't wait to speak to you all next week for episode 4. And until then, remember, when you're discussing the paranormal, always try and leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll see you next week right here on The Dark Paranormal.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.